AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Enthusiasm for buying in the grain markets was difficult to generate today with rains falling in the Midwest. Beans lower, corn slightly lower, and wheat mixed on today's close. Buyers have retaken control of livestock. Sharp gains in live cattle and feeder cattle futures with lean hogs grinding out modest gains.
Live from the last time I'll have to do this week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, our guest analyst is Craig Turner from the StoneX Group. Right after the news with Michelle Rook, we'll get price action perspective from BJ Split of AgMarket.net. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. You've done a great job. I don't know why you dread it so much.
I don't know either.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And stay tuned. Stay tuned. Because if for some reason this weather would knock me off the air, then you get to have the conversation with Craig Turner today. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Was that directed at me or Michelle?
No, that was directed at you.
Oh, yes, that would be great.
That would be fantastic. Fantastic. Speaking of weather, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Speaking of weather, couple of serious notes out there. We've got a tornado warning, two tornado warnings in northwest Iowa. One is just north of Lamar's. The other is just north and northeast of Sioux City. Okay? So that is where we're at in northwest Iowa. There is also a tornado warning around Maple Creek, Dodge, Snyder in eastern Nebraska. Looks like it is headed toward West Point and up toward Beamer. So heads up in eastern Nebraska. You know what? They might have just taken that one off in eastern Nebraska, but the tornado warnings are still in place in northwest Iowa. And there are some severe thunderstorm warnings in place in, you know, over Waterloo, Iowa, over the broadcast bunker here in northeast Iowa, down around Grinnell, Iowa, Ottumwa, Iowa, all the way down through central Missouri, down towards Warrensburg, is a string of severe weather. Man, oh man, Michelle Rook, it's been an active weather day in the Midwest.
Yeah, for April, it feels like it's coming a little early, but I guess we're about due. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just have snow on the ground at this time of year. So
yeah, and then dump about 3 inches of rain on it and flood everything out. But
absolutely,
so far so good. All right, hey, let's go ahead and get to the markets. What do you got?
Yeah, well, it felt like weather was kind of the theme here today for the grain markets. Wheat did end mixed, with July HRW wheat futures posting an outside trading day with a mid-range open and a mid-range close. The contract traded on both sides of 580 for a ninth consecutive session. Can you say coiling on a chart? HRW futures erased early losses while SRW wheat failed to climb back to the top side of unchanged. USD is rating 55% of the winter wheat crop in good to excellent condition, down just a point from the previous week. But looking at the state-by-state breakout, it did show a deterioration of the HRW crop while SRW conditions improved. Spring wheat planting as of Sunday was 7% complete. That was a point ahead of the five-year average. July HRW wheat futures 2.25 cents higher, closing at 583. July SRW wheat was down 2.75 cents, 564.75. July spring wheat closed 645, up a penny on the day.
It might have been a little disappointment in the market today as well that rains did not develop over HRW country as much as was anticipated yesterday. So still a little dry.
Yeah, been kind of spotty, it looks like, in terms of those rains. Corn planting as of April 14th was 6% complete. Now, that's a point ahead of the five-year average. With rain and dry areas of the Corn Belt today, it was difficult for the corn market to build upside price momentum. That's despite ongoing cuts to the Argentine corn crop, where late-season disease is robbing yield. Pro Farmer South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier cut 3 million metric tons from his Argentina estimate that dropped his crop to 50 million metric tons. Now, July corn futures are stuck in a trading range between 440 and 450, very sideways. May corn futures were half a penny lower at 431. D's corn closed at 467 and a quarter, down 2 cents on the day.
Yeah, very much sideways trade in that corn market right now.
No doubt. Soybean planting in the U.S., 3% complete as of April 14th. Now, that's 2 points ahead of the five-year average. Rain and dry areas of the Corn Belt, though, today forced consecutive double-digit losses in bean futures. Private crop watchers note a better-than-expected finish to the Brazilian bean harvest. And as a result, Dr. Cordonier added 2 million metric tons to his Brazilian bean crop, pushing his crop now estimate at 147 million metric tons. July beans posted a high range open and closed near session lows with the lowest settlement since March 6th. May beans 13 and a quarter cents lower at 11.45. November beans closed at 11.58 and a half, down 8 3/4 cents.
Turning a little ugly on the bean chart in there right now, no question about it.
It does look like we've done a little damage. July cotton futures opened near session highs, then plunged through support at last week's low to accelerate the price slide. July cotton closed at the lowest level since January 16th. July cotton 206 lower at 83.09. The second push through resistance at the 10-day moving average in live cattle futures turned into aggressive short covering. As a result, June live cattle a $1.90 higher, 175.72 and a half. May feeders were 297 and a half higher as well at 240.97 and a half, and June hogs 37 and a half higher, 182 and a half.
All right, Michelle, thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, let's bring in Brian Split, agmarket.net. How you doing, buddy?
Fantastic, Chip. What's up?
Well, the cattle, big time feeders spiked to a new low on Friday, and then the market has seen a really nice two-day recovery since then. Does it have some legs to it?
Yeah, it looks like Friday to me might have been a little bit of a bear trap. We retraced 62% of the whole rally from December low to the April high in the case of feeder cattle, and December low to March high in the case of the live cattle. So settled right at the 62% retracement levels. But coming out of the weekend, we took out the downtrends that have been in place. Michelle mentioned we got through the 10-day moving average. May feeders did close above last week's high, which was 240.20, settling at 240.97. And likewise, for the live cattle in June, we closed above last week's high of 175.55, settling today at 175.72. So both markets took out their respective downtrend lines yesterday, closed above them. Today, we closed above the 10-day and above last week's highs. And I think that could lead to some additional technical buying.
Yeah, that's those short-term moving averages in the cattle trade right now. You better keep track of that, or you're not going to be able to keep track of what the attitude is in those markets.
Yeah, you know what? Any market that has a trend in a directional trend, the 10-day moving average seems to be integral for the funds and their decision making whether to add to positions against the 10-day or start covering when they move through the 10-day. But difficult in a market like corn where you're going sideways and just day to day, you'll chop through the 10 days. So you really have to differentiate between a sideways and a trending market.
Yep. Excellent. Excellent. Good counsel there, Brian. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. See you then.
All right. Brian Split, agmarket.net. Coming up next, we are going to jump into a conversation with Craig Turner. Craig is with the StoneX Group. We have got a long list of items that we're going to get to. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Trying to keep tabs of an active and dangerous weather situation up there in northwest Iowa. Looks like they've got a couple of tornadoes on the ground. One is southwest of Orange City. The other is around the Lamar's area, north of Hinton, and making its way up towards Orange City. So, like I said, very dangerous situation on the ground there in northwest Iowa. Also, some severe thunderstorms making their way through eastern Iowa, southern Iowa, northern Missouri at this time. And heck, you know, when you look at it, this storm goes all the way up into central Minnesota and tracks back toward, towards the Wilmot area in South Dakota, I guess. So we're looking at a big area where this storm is covering right now. Okay, let's get to the conversation with Craig Turner, StoneX Group. Craig, it's good to have you back. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Yeah, love it when you're here. How's things been? Staying busy in this market?
Yeah, absolutely. Good. You know, even with some of the markets, they haven't been moving as much, but there's still a lot to do and a lot of risk to cover.
Okay. Well, we feel like we're trickling fundamental factoids into the corn market, bean market, wheat market on a fairly regular basis since the end of March. And we got that prospective plantings report there at the end of March. What did that do to your balance sheets? Did it change anything?
It did change the corn market a little bit, you know, going to 90 million acres and a trend line yield. We're still adding on bushels year over year, but not as much. Like, we're not going to be at that 2.5, 2.6 billion carryout. Be closer to 2.2 or 2.3. So, you know, that is supportive for the corn market. It was disappointing for the soybean market. You know, if we're going to be around 87 million acres in a trend line yield, we could have carryout close to 400 this year. So that was a little bit more disappointing. On the wheat side was mixed to see 6.2 million on Chicago wheat. You know, you could get to a 20%, 25% stock to usage just on that wheat class, which would potentially be bullish, not just for all wheat, but you could start seeing Chicago wheat trading well above Kansas City, and even kind of gain on Minneapolis if it's going to be that tight. So there were some surprises, nothing shocking, you know, to cause limit up or limit down, but enough to, you know, enough to kind of reevaluate the season.
Okay. That change on the wheat, or excuse me, on the corn balance sheet and the carryover projection there, did that change your attitude toward the corn market at all?
I'm a little bit more neutral, right? So when we take a look at the markets here, we try to figure out, are we going to be, you know, abundant? Are we going to be burdensome? Are we going to be tight? If you just change acres by 1 million or the bushels by a couple, you know, what does that really mean for prices? We still see corn in a $4 to $5 dollar range. The one thing that the lower acreage does is, you know, instead of having to lose like a billion bushels to get to maybe into the low to mid fives. Now we maybe just have to lose like 500-600 million, which is still significant, but it just you can get a rally a little bit faster. I mean, at the end of the day, the kind of strategies that you would go through for an adequately supplied to abundant market is still the same. And for farmers out there, they need to be selling the carry, taking advantage of deferred pricing. If they're sophisticated with options, there's strategies there too where they can kind of add to sales. But we would need, man, a close to like a 170 yield to really get us going into bull market phase. If not, we're still adequately supplied, and we're somewhere in this $4 to $5 range, unfortunately.
Yeah, 170 yield is a long ways away from trend line. There's no question about it. But Craig, the story that I continue to get from the guest analysts that are here on AgriTalk, the message is the quickest way to fix, quote unquote, fix this bear market that we've got in corn is a short crop here in the U.S. We can't wait around for the demand to come back fast enough to give us a better selling opportunity on the 24 crop. Is that kind of how you're seeing it?
Yeah. I mean, the demand isn't going to pick up. If it does, it's not going to be by that much. So to really get us to that, and when you take a look at the charts and you see that 425, I'm sorry, 525, 530, major resistance area, to get us above five and even test that, we're going to, we need 170, low 170s to just even kind of, make an attempt at that. And you're absolutely right. Like when you do the math, it's not coming from demand right now.
Yeah.
If the 90 million acres are in there, then that's the way it is. And it's got to be yield. It's the only way to really pump up the market.
Okay. We've been talking quite a bit about stocks to use ratios and in corn, soybeans, and wheat, and trying to get a better handle on exactly what is a bullish stocks to use ratio. If you are going to change it, if you are going to anticipate higher prices ahead, where does that stocks to use ratio got to be on corn?
For corn, it's 10%. It'd be historically, if you look at a linear regression model, and we're actually going to be doing a webinar at StoneX about at the end of the month, that's going to focus on this, and you'll see that if we're above 10% stocks usage, we live in what's known as like a normal trading range. But once we go below 10% stocks usage, and you see where prices are historically for like the past 20 years, that is when we have to get into price rationing, which means prices have to go up high enough to cut off exports. So to get to a 1.5, to get to a 10% stock usage, we got to have a 1.5 billion carryout. And if acres don't change, and if demand doesn't change, that's why we're talking about, minimum 170s, low 170s to 170 yield, just to get us there, right? And at that point, then we're just kind of elevated. And, for the audience here, you got to remember, we do have real structural inflation. So before COVID, corn would trade between most of the year 350 to 425. And whenever we got to that 10% stocks usage, that's when we'd be butting up against like 425, 450. And if it was going to get real bad, instead of the stocks usage number keeping on going down, exports have to come down, which means prices have to go, much, much higher to stop those exports. The new range is now that 350 to 425 is now a $4 to $5 range. So, so if we think about it that way, to get to that 10% stocks usage, low 170s on the yield minimum, and that gets us to that 525 mark. The market to scope much higher than that, and to really price ration exports, the market has to believe a sub 170 is in play.
Okay. All right. Well, we're nowhere close to that, or the market believing that for right now. So what kind of an attitude do you want guys to have when it comes to marketing this 24 crop corn?
Well, I think, some years you just got to take what the market gives you. If we're going to go up into the 480 range in December or higher, you've got to, there is a carry in the market. You got to sell that. You can do that in futures. You can do that at the elevator. You can go ahead and, even use your cash contracts to sell a call against, maybe get a little bit extra, get a little extra premium. Kind of a half a hedge. If you take a look at December 24 versus December 25 corn, it's about a 20-cent carry. Cost to carry right now on corn is about 11 cents. And in the futures market, we rarely get to 100% cost to carry. It's usually 80% unless it's wheat with the VSR. But for corn, it's about 80%. So 8 to 9 cents cost to carry per month. If we do have a 2.5 billion carry out, which is not inadequate, that's burdensome levels.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a dollar. That would be a dollar out these hour at 20. So there are ways where farmers can basically use a sideways market, a market that's going to most likely be within range, that's not going to have a shortage unless we get a real serious drought issue, to use in their favor. And, we're, anyone who's listening, if we're going to be having a webinar at the end of the month, mm-hmm. you want to go to grainsandoilseeds.com. That's both those words are plural, grainsandoilseeds.com. You can check it out. We'll go over how we determine those stock to usage levels, the kind of strategies we use. And then we also kind of go through the mechanics of how the option strategies work. And that is something that we're focusing on this year and also 2025, because unfortunately it is going to probably take two cycles to get through this.
Okay. Boy, you're putting a twist into it right there at the end with that 2025 comment. We might have to revisit that just a little bit when we come back. We are in the middle of a conversation with Craig Turner, Stone X Group. We need to run down a similar process on soybeans. We'll do that next. Let's head over to the markets page at ProFarmer.com. Take a look at how the markets closed. July HRW wheat futures 2.25 cents higher, 583. July SRW wheat down 2.75 cents, 564.75. May corn futures half penny lower at 431. December corn closed at 467.25, down 2 cents on the day. May beans 13.25 cents lower at 1145. November beans closed at 1158.5, down 8.75 cents. July cotton 206 points lower at 8309. June live cattle 190 higher at 175.72.5. May feeders 297.5 higher at 240.97.5. And June lean hogs 37.5 higher at 102.82.5. Give ProFarmer a try at ProFarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. The skies have opened up here in Northeast Iowa. It is raining and raining hard as we speak. I tell you what, this is the heaviest rain that I've seen in a long time up here in Northeast Iowa. So some much needed precip is finally making its way into Northeast Iowa. We are in the middle of a conversation with Craig Turner from Stone X Group. Now, hey, Craig, let's go back on to that stocks to use type of conversation. Run through it on soybeans for me. What is that stocks to use level? that kind of becomes a pivot point for between a bullish narrative and a price negative narrative?
Yeah, that's a great question. Soybeans generally are around the same area, that 10% zone. And what's interesting about soybeans is the market is just more comfortable with tightness in beans than it is with corn, and definitely much comfortable with tightness than wheat. Like, you got to remember about wheat, I mean, that is a basic caloric intake, for the world, wheat, rice, and maize. But with soybeans, it's for meals, for feed, it's oil for industrial use, it's oil for cooking, it has substitutes, it's not 100% vital for human existence, much unlike, wheat, rice, and maize in certain parts of the world. So with soybeans, if we have about a 10% stock to usage, we could trade between $9 and 11 to, 11. As soon as we get started below 10% stock to usage, like we're in like 7 or 8, and you take a look at the linear regression charts, we're more of like a 10 to 12 market. When we start getting to that 5% stock to usage, that's beans in the teens. And right now, with the 300 million to 350 million ending stocks, we're closer to like a 7% and 8% stock to usage, which suggests soybeans in the 10s and 11s. Like, that's where it would be based on something like that. And with the increased acres and planting off to a good start and the weather looking okay, and without a lot of demand coming in, unfortunately, we're kind of grind lower until either A, the weather becomes more challenging, or we see a pickup in demand exports.
Gotcha. Now, since wheat is a staple in the food pyramid for us out there, the stocks to use ratio is much, much, much higher than what it is for corn and soybeans.
Absolutely. It's got to be 30%. I mean, it absolutely has to be. Think about it this way, too. It can get lower in the major exporter market. But when it comes to the United States is the residual supplier of grain and oil seeds. And it's because we have the highest land prices. We have the highest, the strongest currency. It's just always going to cost more to do it here in the United States. So on the export market, we're just not that very competitive. The reason why the world gets concerned when the U.S. gets 25% or 30% stock to usage is, if you think about it, all four corners of the world produce wheat and either some kind of spring or winter. So every quarter you have a new shot of wheat coming on into the export market. But if you get dipped below 25%, or a quarter of the year, the market gets very, very concerned. And, with ending stocks for major wheat, we're at 15%, which is a little tight. So we have a little bit elevated, wheat prices. And then if you take a look at the U.S. by class, Chicago could be at 25%. Kansas City could be closer to 50. Minneapolis in between, 35 and 40. So wheat, is going to be well supplied in the all wheat category. But where you can see some real movement is within those spreads. And, for companies and end users who really need that soft winter Chicago wheat, you can have there's a potential for a shortage. And then when you just take a look straightly at the fundamentals and the stocks usage market, there is a story that could be brewing in that Chicago contract.
Okay. All right. I want to move on. But before we do that, earlier you mentioned that you've got a webinar coming up.
I do, yeah. So it's called Marketing Corn in a Low-Priced Environment. And the reason why we're doing this, because is when we take a look at this year's corn crop and, the odds are for 2025, we just may be range-bound for a while. And you really need a big demand or an acreage loss, or a yield loss to send prices higher. And, we remember 16, 17, 18, and 19. There are strategies out there where farmers can use either the options market or, the elevator and the cash services, or selling the deferreds or playing the spreads to really add on like a nickel, a dime, a quarter to their final sales. And, so if you go to www.grainsandoilseeds.com, both those words are plural, grainsandoilseeds.com. You can sign up for it. And what we're going to do is we're just going to go through why we think the markets are going to be the way they are for the next couple of years. what the certain strategies that are appropriate for abundant stocks versus burdensome levels and tight stocks, and then kind of explain how these things work. Because gotcha. I just think there's not enough education out there, and it's not just the strategy. The strategy has to meet the stock level, you know, and gotcha. And how tight or burdensome the market's going to be.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, let's stay on a grain or technically a feed grain, but let's stay on a grain here for just a second, because you mentioned something about rice in your pre-show notes. What do you got on rice?
Okay, so rice is definitely tight. There is, you know, when you take a look at the May versus July spread, it has gone from about a 30-cent carry to about a 15 to 16 cent inverse. I want to say we were a limit up yesterday. Now, listen, it is a small market, but, you know, with the ban of rice in India, you know, the sales there, and we take a look at, you know, what's going on, or, you know, what's going on the futures market. And I really think the telltale sign a lot of times, if there is shortage in the old crop, you see those one month spreads really start to act up. And we've seen it in the past, like when soybeans were tight 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you would see those meal spreads in May, July just take off to the upside, go like $20 over. Remember that? So when you take a look at rice, it's acting the same way. For May, I mean, we don't harvest rice till November. For the November contract, when you look at May versus July going from 30 under to 16 over in no time flat, it's just telling you that there's something going on there. Yep. Now, there's not a ton of information on the rice market, but we do cover oats and rice here at StoneX. And it has been for some markets have been pretty quiet and range bound. It has been interesting to see what's going on with rice.
You know, you got to watch some of those smaller markets. Sometimes they preview or telegram an increase in volatility for the rest of the market. So it's something to pay attention to, no question about it. Okay, take us over to the cattle trade. What are you thinking in cattle as far as risk management strategies and where this market might be going?
Yeah, so it's actually been, you know, we've been talking for a while now that, you know, 2024 is reminding us a lot of, you know, that the end of the run for cattle in, you know, 14 or really 2015. And we had some, you know, pretty big drops after basically 2 or 3 years of high prices. Now, this year, we're kind of seeing the same thing. I know in the past couple of days, we've had a very nice recovery in the cattle market. I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to have, you know, a technical buying recovery to the upside. But when you take a look at the cattle crush, which is negative between $100 to $200 on the board, when you take a look at that choice and, you know, the choice select spread, which has gotten better, but at one time was nearly even, which means people are choosing to buy, you know, the meat and from their grocery store and retail, and not buying the higher ends. Right? And you're seeing that, and then you're seeing the price action, and the packer margins are not doing well. To us that is just a red flag where, you know, the market needs to come down. In the short term, we certainly can go up, but if I'm looking at like the August feeders and anything out deferred, we are looking for ways to either, you know, buy, you know, if we don't want to just sell futures, maybe buy put spreads and sell call spreads to keep the risk more manageable. But the cattle crush and that choice select spread and the packer margins are just, and the chart pattern, if you take a look at that 2012 through 2015 chart pattern and look at where we've been for the past 2 or 3 years in cattle, just a lot of similarities, you know, going in that market. So that's our concern right now. I don't think we're going back to, you know, the lows of a few years ago, but there is risk to the downside, and commodities do eventually revert back to the mean.
Well, and if nothing else, this cattle market has proven that when it makes moves, it's not going to sit around and ease itself into a new trend. It moves quickly, and the opportunity is here and gone before you know it. So it's not like you can wait for the cattle market to break before you buy some puts or a put strategy to protect your downside. You got to be there before the market moves, right?
You absolutely do, because as soon as it moves, it takes off. It takes off fast. And that's why I kind of like the idea of, buy and put spreads and sell and call spreads to kind of help offset the cost. Keep seeing the game. It doesn't move that fast, right, compared to being short futures, right? And you can, it's a way for you to get coverage. So like I was saying before, there are strategies that are meant for different types of markets, whether they're big, fast moving markets like feeder cattle, or if we're going to be, the strategies that we would use in like corn and soybeans in a tight year versus, a burdensome year, are completely different too. And for this cattle market, for feeders, buy and put spreads, sell and call spreads is probably the easiest way to stomach it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Great conversation, Craig. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you, man.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. www.grainsandoilseeds.com to get signed up for the webinar that Craig has got going. All right.
Marketing corn in a low-priced environment.
Excellent. Good stuff. Thanks, buddy.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Davis has got the day off. He'll be back with us tomorrow. I tell you what, we're in a bit of a break in the heavy rains right now. Just in the last 30 seconds, we went from very heavy rains to, it doesn't look like it's raining at all out there right now. And conditions are still very active in the area. We've got at least one more wave of rains coming our way. And of course, trying to keep track of that. And very active up in Sioux County, Lyon County, Iowa, from Sioux Center up toward Sheldon, Boyden Hall, along Highway 18, all the way up. Boy, I guess we're looking at the. We're not quite all the way up to the state line there yet, but up into the center part of Lyon County, just short of George and Ashton, is where the tornado warning is for Northwest Iowa. And then in north central Iowa, we've got another tornado warning. This is a different area from Rockwell City up towards Pocahontas, just west of Fort Dodge. So heads up in those areas. It is a tough. And they just added this one. Good grief. We've got a tornado warning in eastern Iowa. That is north of Cedar Rapids from Vinton up to Independence and stops right now just south of Owine. So that system is making its way to the northeast and is taking with it a tornado is what it looks like at this time. So Iowa's got three active tornado warnings going for it right now, and it's not done. It is not done yet. Now, this system, I mentioned it earlier, it makes its way all the way up into central Minnesota, sweeps around through South Dakota with some severe weather starting to pop up again down in south central Nebraska, and that is the next wave for us in the Midwest and the eastern Corn Belt. If you've been missing out on some severe weather. Don't worry, it's coming your way tonight and tomorrow is when we expect it to make its way into your part of the world. This is what we talked about yesterday with Brett Walsh from BAMWX.com. And it's nothing to screw around with. These kinds of weather systems are notorious for leaving lots of damage in their wake. The weather guys have been out in front on this one for quite some time. And that's one of the things that I always take note of. If they've been talking about it for 4 or 5 days, well, then it's been pretty clear to a lot of people for a long time that the conditions were going to be ripe for some severe weather. And here it is. It is happening as we speak. The National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, and this is for April 22nd through the 26th, is moving the below normal temperatures out to the east. Eastern Corn Belt, make that southern Illinois, all of Indiana, all of Ohio, is looking at the potential for below normal temperatures April 22nd through the 26th. Near normal temperatures in Missouri, northern Illinois, southeast Wisconsin at that time. And then most of Wisconsin, most of Iowa, northwest Missouri, most of Kansas is looking at above normal temperatures. And those above normal temperatures are expected to the north and west of that line for April 22nd through the 26th. So warm temperatures on the way. Above normal precipitation is expected in southeast South Dakota, Nebraska, the southwest two-thirds of Iowa, all of Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, a lot of Texas and Louisiana in that that forecast for above normal precipitation for April 22nd through the 26th. Near normal precip is expected in the rest of South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. So that's the short-term outlook, the 6 to 10 day and the 8 to 14 day. This gets us April 24th to April 30th. So the last week of April, look out because the above normal temperatures are coming back over most of the country. And the odds of above normal temperature get into the 70 to 80% range over southern Iowa, southeast Nebraska, eastern Kansas, northeast Oklahoma, northern Arkansas, that area. Southern Illinois is in on that as well. But we've got above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt and most of the country for April 24th through the 30th. Above normal precipitation, we've got above normal odds, or odds for above normal precipitation over the entire Corn Belt. It's not, you know, huge odds, 33 to 40% odds of above normal precipitation over most of the Corn Belt. You got to get to far western Nebraska and western Kansas before you get into higher odds of above normal precipitation. So here it is. We are into a pattern that's going to be more active. We are into a pattern that is definitely bringing the heat back into the outlook, and the guys that are out there and have gotten some seed in the ground. Yeah, we've got a few days of colder temperatures over the next 5 to 7 where we might see some below normal temperatures in the middle of the Corn Belt. But for the most part, we are trending back to above normal temperatures and precip in the National Weather Service outlook. Okay. Big thanks to Craig Turner for coming on the show today. Appreciate it. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have a conversation with USDA Undersecretary for Trade, Alexis Taylor, and we're going to continue the trade talk in the Farmer Forum. We've got April Hemis from Iowa, Bill Florey from Idaho getting ready to join us. And tomorrow afternoon, we're going big picture with Bill Baruch from Blue Line Futures right here on AgriTalk.